Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here to continue the expectations series today, discussing Devin Leary and Kyle Hamilton. Joining me to do that is Brandon Croxton. Brandon, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Ken. Good to talk to you, as always.
As always, longtime friend of the show, Brandon, and appreciate gotten to know you over the last few years, and your contributions are much appreciated, much like the listeners out there. Thank you for listeners too. I usually say it at the end of the show. I'm going to say it at the beginning of the show this time. Listens have been fantastic recently, and whatever you're doing to promote the show, I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate being on. I have a ton of fun every time, so I'm happy to be on.
All right, let's talk about Devin Leary a little bit. And drafted in 2024, round 6, number 218 out of Kentucky. I thought he might have gone undrafted, honestly, from what had happened. He did not have a great year in 2023 before being drafted. 25 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. But he was 62-16 in the four previous years when he was at NC State. Now, we're still talking about his college statistics 2 years later because he really hasn't done anything in the NFL. Hasn't entered an NFL game, hasn't been active, as far as I know, on a game day. But he was terrible in the last preseason.
Yeah, it was a really rough preseason for him. He honestly did not look like an NFL quarterback. He was often flustered. Doesn't have a really strong arm. Really kind of looked confused out there, which can be expected for a rookie. But he really struggled and just did not look like an NFL quarterback. And obviously did not make the final 53 last year and spent the entire year on the practice squad. And like you said, he didn't have any call-ups. So he was on the practice squad all year. So I think it'll be interesting for him in training camp. This is a very important training camp for him this year.
Yeah, absolutely. They signed Cooper Rush, of course, this offseason. Kind of blocks any path he might have had to a quarterback role. Obviously, there are nuclear scenarios, which would be awful, involving a Jackson injury we don't want to even think about. But I don't see a way that he plays a game with Cooper Rush as the backup.
Right, exactly. He's really not competing with Cooper Rush for the number two quarterback slot. He's competing with Jalen Armour-Dayes, Rasheen Ali, those type of players for that 52nd, 53rd player on the roster. That's really who he's competing with. With the amount of money that Cooper Rush was signed for and the success he's had as a starting quarterback last year, this is not a competition for the number two spot.
I would agree, and I even think the competition actually might be outside the organization at this point, whether the Ravens are satisfied with Leary as a practice squad quarterback to me, or whether they want to get somebody else who they wouldn't necessarily be able to keep. But if there are cuts, And you know, play some quarterbacks are not claimed in the waiver process, then the Ravens could sign him to the practice squad. But Leary probably as reasonable as any right now to be the quarterback on the practice squad. They usually carry one there. I'm not seeing a lot of hope for him, frankly, at this point. I don't know what his route ever to getting play will be. Those things usually come via injuries, these kind of opportunities. And then he'd have to really make good on the first opportunity he got, I think, to have any sort of a career, really, as a backup, even in the NFL.
Right, exactly. I think his ceiling probably at best is a number three quarterback. I wouldn't even have that much faith in him as a number two quarterback at this point. So best of luck to him. I mean, EDC talked a little bit about him in one of his recent press conferences and expressed some confidence that, you know, he think they can see some improvement from him. Let's hope that comes to fruition, but he really does still have an uphill battle to even make the roster.
Okay, I'm in agreement there. Well, let's talk about what's a good season, what's a great season for Devin Leary here. Sure. What does a good season look like to you?
Yeah, I would say if he were able to make the final roster initially out of training camp and stay on the roster for maybe the first three or four games of the season. And I mean, he's a guy that's going to be kind of, if he does make the roster, would be somebody that's kind of shuttled off the active roster onto the practice squad, going back and forth for the next few, you know, for the season, depending on what their needs are on special teams, or you know, if they get in a lot of injuries on any particular position group. But I think it would be great if he were able to be on the active roster for a few games, remain on the practice squad next year, and maybe have a chance to make the 53 in 2026.
It's a very tight roster. The Ravens always come into camp with a lot of depth. It doesn't always hold up, as we've noted in the past at any number of times. Just ask the running back group from a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, I guess it was now. I think if he has a solid preseason, and that's very important for him, very important for him to stay healthy in the preseason, because that's the only playing time he's going to get. Mm-hmm. I mean, realistically, that's the only time the Ravens have to see if this guy can process and what he can do, and he's got to stay healthy during that portion. And then he can earn the QB3 role. I'm not even saying the QB3 role is on the roster, but it's the Ravens having the confidence that he can stay on their practice squad and be available when they need him, as opposed to going out and get somebody else, some other veteran, maybe some other, you know, cast off in year two or three that they like better for developmental purposes. And I think that's a reasonable possibility. And like you, I think he learns and hones his positional skills prior to 26, maybe he makes the roster then.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
All right. How about a great season? What does that look like?
I'd say a great season for him is to, again, make the 53-man roster out of training camp and remain on the active roster for the entire season, and show enough in the preseason and in practices that maybe he could potentially compete with Cooper Rush for the number two quarterback in 2026. And I mean, if he's able to jump and have a great, you know, a great improvements over that, it would be great for him to compete and maybe at least be equal to Cooper Rush, and maybe the Ravens can move on and save some money on the salary cap next year.
Yeah, good point on that, because the Ravens are highly incented to let Cooper Rush go if they can. I'm trying to remember how old Cooper Rush is, but he's not young. I think he might be like 33 or something, right? He's been in the league for quite some time, right?
I don't know if he's quite 30, but he's right around 30, if not one or two years over or under. But he's been in the league for a few years now. Yeah.
He'll be 32 in November. So He's an old man. He's a 2017 draft pick, and he wasn't young then, like a Humphrey who was in that same draft. Okay. All right. So let's a little bit more in terms of a great season. I'd say he's an outstanding practice and preseason, has him assume the QB2 role by midseason due to injury, with no attempt to go outside the organization for another QB. Obviously, that could be an injury to Jackson, but it could also be an injury to Rush if something were to happen. Backup QBs don't tend to get injured too often. You know, they wear non-contact jerseys for every practice. They're out there, and it's pretty rare. It's not like they have a bunch of soft tissue problems that show up. They don't get hurt too often, which also plays well for him to get his preseason time in this year and get it done. Yeah. But it probably means Cooper Rush is not going to get hurt. I'd have him play a limited number of snaps in mop-up duty. He could also get a trial by fire somewhere in that top 20% for him, not for the Ravens, because a trial by fire means very, very bad things have happened. He, as a change of pace quarterback, he could be intriguing. I think they look at Rush as being a similar quarterback that way, more of a traditional pocket passer, not the kind of mesh point, you know, chaos creator that Lamar Jackson is, of course, but still somebody who can provide you a little something as a with his arm. And maybe the Ravens scrap their longtime trend of having a stylistic match for Jackson. They already have kind of broken that by going out and getting Cooper Rush. But if they were actually to get game time and not go outside the organization at that point to get, you know, a Tyrod Taylor or somebody else who might be available on the street at that point, I think that would be a positive thing as well. And the Ravens like him enough not to draft another quarterback in 2026. I'll just leave it there. I think they're obviously happy with who they have as their number one. But the question is, do they want to continually try and develop a quarterback? Are they going to be at a position with Leary that they say, nah, this one didn't work. We got to try another. We may as well try this year, even though Rush is on the last year of his deal. If they don't do that, then it's a good thing for Leary.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I kind of think, you know, the Ravens will be just fine if we don't see Leary after the preseason, and the only thing we see him is high-fiving Lamar Jackson after a great touchdown pass or run. So that's what I want to see.
That's all I want to see from him too. I mean, we kind of loved one pass. Who's the quarterback who came in? I want to see it was like McCord, but the McCordy? No, it's not him. It's a quarterback who came in through one third down pass for a completion, then got injured, and then Lamar Jackson came back into the ballgame.
That was the quarterback from Penn State.
It'll come to us, but driving us nuts right now.
Yeah, I can't think of his name right now. Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on and talk about Kyle Hamilton. I know you'll look that up while we're doing this, but second team. McSorley, there you go.
Trace McSorley. Yep.
Yeah. How quickly we forget. And you know, he was hurt, and Ravens fans are so happy Lamar Jackson's back. It's a terrible career moment for McSorley. But I will say this. In 1972, Marty Domrays got hurt and had to come out of a ball game in December to put the third string quarterback in for the Baltimore Colts. And that third string quarterback was John Unitas. He came in the game, threw a little pass out in the flat. Could have been more than 5 or 6 yards to Hinton, who basically danced all the way through daylight for a touchdown and a remarkable run for Hinton in his own right. But Domrays still, that was the last touchdown pass of Unitas' Colts career. And Domrays says that was the highlight of his pro NFL career, was getting hurt. So Johnny Unitas could come back in that ballgame. He played, you know, several years with the Burt Jones Colts after that. And so sometimes he's a backup quarterback. That's your best moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, Kyle Hamilton, second team All-Pro in 2024, a step back in several different ways that we'll get to from his AP1 honors in 23. He remains the Ravens' most versatile defender. And some of that, while it helped the Ravens tremendously in 24, I think hurt his own personal production and is not making him the same player that he could be if he truly had the versatility to move all over. And We flash forward a year. Ardarius Washington is now hurt after the two of them saved the defense together. And the Ravens, who I thought coming into camp were one deep safety short still, even with the Malachi Starks draft, are now, in my opinion, too short of guys who can play on the back end.
Right, exactly. I think I completely agree with you. I think it was kind of a tale of two seasons for Kyle Hamilton in 24. Beginning of the season, he was not quite at the 23 level, but he was still playing at a very high level, certainly on his way to what would be an all-pro second. He probably missed out on that because he was asked to go in the back end and at the end of the season. And it raised the floor of the defense as a whole by putting Ardarius and Kyle in the back and taking Williams and Jackson off the field. But it also probably might've lowered the ceiling in the respect that you lost your dominant player, and Kyle is the dominant player when he's playing that slot, playing that dime back position near the line of scrimmage, blitzing, covering wide receiver screens, blowing those things up. He's a dominant, great player when he's close to the line of scrimmage. He's a good player when he's back. I mean, he can certainly handle a single high or a cover two safety, but he's not that dominant player. He's much better when he's up close to the line of scrimmage. And so when you lose that aspect, you sacrifice your queen to save your king in chess. Yeah. So it's, you know, you hurt yourself by losing your queen, but you're still in the game and you're able to, you know, still compete in chess. So
very much addition by subtraction move to move Hamilton to the back end, which is tremendously unfortunate for the situation, but it was what it was. And he did well in that position. Didn't have a great tackling year either, which was one of the kind of bummers about what was going on. I think that works out better for him closer to the line of scrimmage than to try and be a tackler in space where he might not be quite as good. He really wants to trigger downhill quickly, anticipate the play, get his hands on somebody quickly, and that just it. He didn't have as good a year doing that. I know a lot of people think of him as a defensive player of the year candidate, and I'm not saying that he could never get it under any circumstances when players like Reed and Polamalu have won it, but I think that there are significant obstacles to his type of play, which is highly multifaceted in terms of its contributions, that would ever get him there.
It would to be considered defensive player of the year is, I think he would really have to have an extraordinary season. I mean, 23, he had the rare accomplishment of the double-double where he had 10 tackles for losses and 10 pass breakups in the same season. That's extremely rare for any defensive back or any defensive player. And I mean, a defensive player of the year of the award is, those are going for the sack artists that are putting up big sack numbers, or that rare time when a defensive back gets 8-9 interceptions and is, you know, just an absolute ball hawk like Ed Reed was. So it's going to be rare. It's going to be really hard for him to win a defensive player of the year award, but that doesn't take away from the fact that he's a great defensive player and a really dominant player and can take over the defense, and, you know, for a series. Like he has several series throughout the season where he'll blow up a wide receiver screen on one play, tackle a running back for a 2-yard gain on the second play, and then defense throws it short and he makes the tackle to get off the field on third down. And you see those type of drive ending, you know, I call them the Kyle Hamilton drives, where he just completely shuts down a defense. And he's still a great player, but, you know, defensive player of the year of the award is very hard for any individual player to win.
Yeah, I think for him to win it, it would almost have to be the Ray Lewis formula, where the defense as a whole was fantastic. And I feel like even if that were to happen, like the 2000-2003 Ravens, obviously very, very dominant defenses that led those teams to tons of success each year, even though they didn't go far in the playoffs in 2003. The thing that would be a problem for Hamilton is that if he were to do that, and I think he could be competing all of a sudden with Roquan and maybe even Marlon Humphrey for that.
Yeah.
And that's assuming Mike Green doesn't suddenly go off and get 15 sacks. I mean, sure. or Adafi Owe for that matter. That nobody has a really huge pass rush here. So a lot of vote splitting is certainly possible if you have that happen.
Yeah, I think it's also hard when you have Lamar Jackson, and he gets a lot of the ink, for this team as well. So this isn't a team that would be carried by the defense. If it's a great defense, chances are it's also going to be a very good offense with Lamar in there all season. So yeah, it's going to be a very good just overall team.
Yeah, and that's true. And there are voters that become more sophisticated. I don't know if they're yet sophisticated enough to know that if Lamar Jackson is leading the Ravens to a bunch of 24-point wins, that puts the Ravens in a much better position in terms of turnovers. And that Harbaugh's occasionally mentioned that. He says, the one group that talk about being responsible for turnovers is the offense. But the offense has got to, give us more leads to defend so we can, pile up the turnovers. And the one team which broke that, the 49 turnover 2000 Ravens, was not getting a lot of help from their offense. And what they did get, they got because they gave short fields to their offense to score some points.
But I mean, that run that they had at the end of the season, they would, even though the offense wasn't doing much, they'd get up 14, 17 points by the second half, and that team just made you one dimensional right off the bat. That's a big thing about getting turnovers, is if you're able to keep a team one dimensional, whether that's stopping the run or shutting down the pass, and you can just focus on one aspect, that's really where the turnovers pile up.
Right. I completely agree. Kind of one low point in this season, I think it was the Browns game that he dropped the interception that cost him the win. And it was the Browns game and not the Steelers game, right, that happened?
It was the Browns game. Yeah. Winston threw the long pass on the very next play for the touchdown and that win. Yeah.
Was a kind of a nightmarish thing. He did line up still all over on the defensive line sometimes. Now, when I say on the defensive line, he's usually an overhang player, a player who lines up outside of an edge defender looking to rush the passer. He lined an inside linebacker / dime. More this year, did the Ravens show kind of a 5-3 8-man boxed look with some heavy formations from the opponent. So when they got 21, they would sometimes show that on first or second down to have Hamilton up near the line of scrimmage there. Played big nickel, played free safety, and according to PFF, he even played 17 snaps as the widest cornerback, which is probably a function of motion. So I'm not a big fan of the PFF detailed positions, but they give you an idea. You just got to understand what the pitfalls are right there.
Right. Yeah. It almost reminds you of Adelius Thomas back in 2005, 2006, where he literally lined up at every position on the defense there, even outside corner on sometimes. Yeah.
That's probably a great simile, like this with comparison, whatever you want to call it. The Ravens in 2005 played 265 snaps with only three defensive backs on the field, which to me is just incredible for modern football of any sort.
Right. Exactly.
And did you play any tabletop games when you were a kid, Brandon? Any like,
play ping pong a little bit. Yeah.
No, what I mean is like a tabletop football
game. So when I was a little kid, the electric football the field rumbles and the players. Yeah. That was when I was a little kid. Yeah. Other than that, that's pretty much it though. Yeah.
Okay. So
if you're looking for a better way to unwind, focus, or even get a good night's sleep, listen up. Let me tell you about Mood, the online cannabis company that's changing the game when it comes to functional gummies. They've crafted a whole line up of federally legal THC blends designed to help with everything from stress to sleep to mental clarity and even some spicier needs if you're into that. Now, what makes Mood different? They go beyond just THC. They pair it with herbs and adaptogens to create targeted effects that you won't find in any other dispensary. And every gummy is made with pesticide-free, small-farm American cannabis, so you're getting quality that you can trust. I've tried their sleep gummies, and let me tell you about takes about 15 minutes, and I'm out cold, no grogginess, no weird side effects, getting some of the best sleep I've gotten in my life when I take one of these gummies. And if you need a mood boost, there are Epic Euphoria gummies, game changers. And right now, Mood is giving listeners 20% off their first order by using the promo code RAVENS at checkout. So head on over to mood.com, find the perfect gummy for whatever life throws your way, and don't forget to use the promo code RAVENS to save 20%.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
I hesitate to tell the story, but my greatest ever finding of an item in the trash, and I'm like, how could somebody throw this away, was an electric football set. Somebody had thrown it away. I was like, my God, what are you thinking, people? And we had that for a few years after that.
Yeah. That was...
Nice. But what I was really trying to get back at was the three defensive back thing, because I could remember in 1974, we had the pay dirt game, which is based on the 1973 season. Also known as Sports Illustrated Football, if you've ever played that growing up. But it had the 4-4-3 defense was the standard. It was the A defense that you had. So pretty much everybody, you know, as recently as 50 years ago, was playing with three defensive backs on the bulk of plays and having four linebackers out there with four on the defensive line. So pretty crazy how much the game's changed in 50 years. I guess we all know that kind of inherently. Some of the people have actually been watching it for that whole time, have actually seen it occur. And I'm still amazed going back and looking at a game from the early 70s and see various things about how different things are. One of them is how close the linebackers line up to the line of scrimmage. They're not mugging the A gap. They're like standard position is like 2 yards off the line of scrimmage, waiting to, you know, pick their gap really quickly, or maybe not even pretend like they're picking a gap. Just be set up. Yeah. Just the game has changed. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing how much it's changed. Yeah.
Statistically, Hamilton's year, 5.7 yards per target, is still very good, but his 2023 season, he was at 4.3, which is historic, or very close to it. 88.9, opposition passer rating, 2 sacks in the first 10 weeks. He had 3 the year before that all happened to come in that half against Indianapolis. He was off a little bit in terms of his stops to missed tackle rate, where he had 38 stops and 18 missed tackles. His career previously was 53 and 17. So he definitely, that is the best illustration I can give you of him not having a great tackling year. So everything was off a little bit statistically. I still think in terms of how he benefited the Ravens defense, he clearly deserved the All-Pro 2 honors, but I understand why he wasn't All-Pro 1.
Yeah. Again, I think he might have been on the way to All-Pro 1 had he stayed at slot corner and dime for the entire season. But, you know, just the last quarter of the season, there wasn't a lot of big plays for him to make. I should say he wasn't able to make a lot of big plays when he was playing free safety. So, I'm curious, and I'm sure you probably don't know off the top of your head how many of those missed tackles were a result from him playing free safety, and maybe it's a little harder for him to tackle somebody in space when he's covering more ground as a free safety than he's when he's closer to the line of scrimmage. But
yeah. When I was writing out my notes, I looked at it for the week, and he was definitely a worse tackler as the season went on. But I'll tell you here in a second. Yeah, his bad tackling weeks basically started in week 12, his really bad tackling. But he had actually week 13, I guess I'd even say more, but he had, this is a big number, 15. I'm in the wrong number. I'm in the wrong column. Yeah, in beginning week 12, he had 9 of his 19 missed tackles. He did have a 3 in week 1 as well. But I would say after he moved to the back end, it looks like he had actually 10 of his 19 missed tackles came during that time. So, it was not as good. And frankly, that's the number that really sticks out when you look at his career record on PFF, is the 2024 tackling number is in the low 50s. And that's obviously not very Kyle Hamilton-like.
Right, hopefully. Yeah.
Let's look forward for a second, though. At what position do you expect him to play this year, given where the Ravens are right now? How do you expect them to line up with Hamilton?
So I'm this offseason, I thought it was very important for them to get at least one deep free safety that can move him closer to the line of scrimmage. That was obviously before Ardarius got hurt. So we're back to getting at least, you know, one more. And you were saying earlier that they might even be two, and I don't disagree with that. I was ecstatic that they got Malachi Starks. I thought him and Xavier Watts were the two best pure free safeties in the draft. So them getting one of them was, I think, hugely important. Now I think they have to look at either the trade market or the free agent market, which is pretty kind of, it's not that, it's kind of bare right now to kind of fill that role, because I think, you know, you really want to bring out the best in Kyle Hamilton, and bring out his best is allowing him to be close to the line of scrimmage. And I think it's hugely important for him it's hugely important for the Ravens to get at least one, if not maybe two veterans, either off the street or through the trade market.
Yeah. I'm not going to be specific about how they do it, because the Eddie Jackson thing didn't work out last year. It didn't look like it was going to work out at the time, honestly, because he gave up 10 yards per target the last 4 years combined. I will remind people of that, because they need to look at that factor. It's got to be one of the things they look at when they bring in a veteran safety. The evidence was there that Jackson had lost a lot of his skills. But there's always going to be a temptation to take an older safety who is veteran savvy, and I'm using some of the platitudes that they can apply to such a player, and say, we're putting him in a reduced role. So he's been asked to play this large free safety, which contained a lot of single high. We're not asking him to do that anymore. We just want him to play split field. So instead of 2/3 of the field, maybe his responsibility is half the field now in this game. And it's going to make him be able to make his judgment later about what route he needs to focus on and make a play on. It doesn't really improve the player's instincts to do that, to give him a shorter field, but it might mitigate the problems you get when the player isn't where he used to be in terms of either foot speed, or maybe he never had the instincts and he was making up for that with foot speed at one point early in his career. But I think they probably are going to go to the veteran market again. I hope they're more careful traits wise with how they go about that. By the way, I would be happy if they got a guy they loved from college scouting within the last 2 years, I'll even say. Anybody they liked in the scouting process who they thought, this guy is a reasonable back-end safety. He didn't work out for us. You know, one guy comes to mind, and he may be below the line, is Jeremy Lucien, who was here, showed some stuff in preseason, which neither Sanusi Kane nor Bo Braid did. They're going to get another chance, by the way. Those guys are going to get another big whopping opportunity tossed on their plate this preseason. But if they have another guy, you know, there may be, they may have had four guys out of the last two drafts that they really liked that are now available. I'd rather them take a chance on a younger player like that than go out and get an ancient safety who may or may not still be able to play a half field role. The other thing is, I think you avoid cavalier attitudes from your safety or bad habits from your safety that you have to retrain. So if they've been playing in Chicago, say, all those years and have picked up some things that aren't working out now, you don't want to have to completely fix that in an older player. And you certainly don't want any flack about it when he tells you, no, well, this is the way I've always done it kind of thing. I don't care.
Yeah. Sure. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's a good idea too. I mean, I think they should be just, uncovering every stone to try and find one. And it's going to be hugely important. Like they can certainly get by, putting Kyle back there and having, him and Starks manning, the two deep safeties. That's perfectly fine. You just reduce the heights maybe that you could get to as a defense as a whole when you do that. So, I mean, and I think it'll also go to see how well Awuzie and TJ Tampa are playing.
Exactly.
Because you do have pretty good depth at cornerback. And so maybe the solution is playing in your nickel, you have Marlon Humphrey in your slot and having Wiggins and Awuzie or Tampa as your outside. And maybe that's a good combination as well. So they'll be tinkering with that and kind of figuring that out in training camp, but they still need to bring somebody in deep because I mean, now it's, if Starks or Hamilton were to get injured and miss time, you're really kind of in some trouble there.
Yeah. It would be a nightmare. And I think they've got a few possible moving pieces, but they obviously lost one of the three most versatile defenders in the entire league in Washington. And we've already seen over the last year or two, really 2 years, I guess now, that Hamilton, when he's forced to move to the back end because of some sort of an injury, that's happened. I don't know how many different games it's happened, 4 or 5 times probably it's happened over that period. And every time I keep screaming at the TV set or at the field, if I'm there, you know, is why didn't you have one more safety active?
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times they've gone with special teams guys like Kane and Braid, who would probably be perfectly fine as dime backs, given what we've seen from them. But it's not obvious that either of them is going to be the back end guy. And by the way, really hope I'm wrong about one of them. I'm really hoping one of them becomes a back end / special teams guy who has just tremendous value to the team. And then the other one can still be a great special teams player who can play dime back. That would be, I don't know if it's my greatest wish out of preseason, because it seems like that's not enough to use one of your three wishes on, but I really hope it happens.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that would be great if they have an in-house solution, but I mean, with the aspirations that you have, you know, with this team, it's more or less kind of Super Bowl or bust. You may not be able to rely on that, or maybe a weekend of training camp is like, okay, you know, they can't do it. So now what are we going to do? How are we going to address this? And you may not want to wait, and, you know, you want to be making calls now to the players that you have in mind, to at least know where they are, if they're potentially close to signing with another team or whatever, before you go out and, you know, kind of commit to what you have on your roster. So, yeah, right. I'm sure EDC is making calls and talking to players.
I mean, you're I think you're making a good point there too, that if at least I'm inferring it, that the 90-man roster, you don't have an unlimited number of spots there either. but mm-hmm. you can take one less at some other position group. Maybe that's it as a edge rusher. And they just signed the Kamen Rucker, the guy from UNC. They signed him recently. Maybe you can get a safety in place of him. Maybe, you know, one of your lower totem pole cornerbacks is off. I think, you know, this provides a real opportunity potentially for TJ Tampa to play the back end. Tampa is a guy who was passed over significantly for his speed concerns. He ran like a 4.59. Mm-hmm. You hear cover three corner, you know, is something that's often brought up with his name as a guy. You know, people think he's good off the line of scrimmage as well. Don't get me wrong, but I'm thinking that you know, his instincts are something that could potentially be portable to safety and be something that could be useful as well. And the Ravens have some other, you know, aircraft size corners with good speed already now, with Longer Beam and Kone and even JAD still hanging around.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's certainly an option. I'm sure Tampa, for his own personal career and, you know, maybe even what the Ravens think of him and, you know, looking at him, you know, at practice in preseason last year, you know, maybe their first look is at corner, but say, hey, he's a great candidate to move to safety and, you know, kind of be a little versatile piece like that as well. That would be good. Yeah. If he could do that.
All right. Well, since the Ravens lost Geno Stone, they haven't had that good split field guy that's you know, plays only that role. They moved Washington and Hamilton back there full time. So don't get me wrong on that, but they haven't had anybody else to play it well. But, you know, having an entire year where two veterans let you down the way that Williams Jackson did last year, it's just it's a gut punch. It's very hard for a defense to recover from that. It's frankly remarkable the Ravens did what they were able to do.
Yeah, and I mean, frankly, like, Jackson was showing signs that, you know, he was probably over the hill and his best days were behind him. But I mean, Marcus really he fell off a cliff. Yep. I mean, it's not. I mean, he's not old. I'm not sure, but I don't even think he's 30 yet. And I mean, his play was still, you know, he was still an above average free safety for his first couple of years. He was just having issues staying on the field. And, you know, a lot of times maybe you can see that fall if he has a serious knee injury or a leg injury, but the injuries he had, I think it was a broken wrist and a torn pec. And I mean, that shouldn't be sapping your speed. And I mean, he just looked completely lost out there. And that was mind-boggling, really.
I don't know if he picked up some things in terms of tackling that were bad habits from the 23 season, where he was, you know, he's walking wounded the whole time, obviously. But the 24 season is just, I can't find a reason for it either. His per-snap productivity has been hot, good for 2 years. He's not even 29 yet. He's 29 in September.
Wow. So, yeah.
It's too early. It's too early for him to be done. I honestly, in his case, I wouldn't be shocked if he goes somewhere else and plays pretty well.
I could say that. Yeah. I mean, he's really got 1 foot out of the league right now, and mm-hmm. wherever he signs, he's going to need to show that he can, you know, bounce back, or else he's, you know, his career is over. Yeah. He hasn't signed with anybody yet. I'm mildly surprised about that, but I guess we'll see.
I mean, now would be about the time you'd expect him to sign, right? Maybe it'd be the Raiders or the Cardinals or, you know, one of these teams that it doesn't seem to care.
Always picking up the has-beens.
All right, let's go on and talk about Hamilton. What's a good season look like for Kyle Hamilton for you?
So I would say continuing to play at the level that he's playing now. I think his level of play is not an aberration now. He truly is one of the best in the league. You want him close to the line of scrimmage. I want him blitzing. I want him blowing up the wide receiver screens. I would say it would probably look somewhere between his 23 and 24 season. You know, a little bit better than last year, but maybe not as great as it was in 23. And so, I mean, it's hard to quantify, but I would say if he could get, you know, 2 to 3 sacks, 3 interceptions, and maybe about, you know, another 10 tackles for losses, I think that's a really good season.
I think I'd sign up for that right now, you know, in terms of this. But then I would, your good season, I'm probably going to sign up for right away because I think it's going to be over the 50th percentile. I'd say he plays as needed at free safety, strong safety, and slot corner in a good season. So the Ravens tap in more to the what's the best thing for the Ravens than what's the best thing for Kyle Hamilton's statistics and his own personal production in the good season component. But the lack of complementary pieces forces him into a role that's subpar for himself in terms of that impact on the strong side of the field. Anyway, I'd expect him to fall short of his 23 and 24 seasons in several categories, although I think he could improve as a tackler. I don't think he has to be had the kind of year he had as a tackler. I think he'll be better than that. And the thing that I think is going to be a Kyle Hamilton factor no matter what is opposing offensive coordinators, regardless of where he plays, have to factor in for him. They have to be aware of him. With what he did on the interception against the Browns now 2 years ago, where he played 3 yards off the line of scrimmage, took a line not to the quarterback, but to a point to basically tip a ball, a high point a ball that was on a screen to the outside. I mean, you got to be aware of that. And basically, he deserves the Ed Reed wristband treatment that Tom Brady gave him. He's fined 14 on every play. Whether we don't, you know, we don't want that to be the case all around the league that everybody's worried about where Kyle Hamilton is, but that's honestly where he's saying. I think that as long as he has the characteristic that other offensive coordinators need a game plan around him, he's meeting the standard of certainly a good season for Kyle Hamilton.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, completely agree.
How about a great season?
Okay. Great season is you're able to keep him at the slot and dime back position for the entire season. He still has a similar statistical type of output, but it really helps move this defense to an elite, or I should say return to an elite level back to when they were in 23, when they got the triple crown in defensive categories and sacks, turnovers, and points allowed. Having him be that player and, you know, getting some defensive player of the year consideration would be a great season for him.
That would certainly be a great season. I would agree. I've set the bar a little lower at the 80th percentile. I say the Ravens find the missing complementary piece needed for 2023-esque flexibility with lots of slot corner play, and he comes close to duplicating his outstanding 2023 season with regular splash plays, whether that results in the same postseason honors or not. Might not be AP1. He might not be defensive player of the year. The defense overall might or might not completely find its mojo this year, but Hamilton himself, with the complementary pieces at safety, turns in a very big season.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Always great talking football with you, Brandon. Where can people talk football with you online and include you in a conversation?
Sure. I'm on Twitter. My Twitter handle is bcroxton99. I love talking football, love talking Ravens, and looking forward to this season. It's I think it's going to be a great season, even though we have a tough schedule. It's going to be a lot of entertaining games and a lot of fun. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to them not like digging themselves too deep a hole in those first 6 weeks. That's really key. If they come out of that 4-2, even if they really came out of it 3-3, it wouldn't be the end of the world. But if they came out of it 4-2, I think they're looking very good for.
Four and two would be great. I'd love that. Especially Buffalo. Beat Buffalo. I think Kansas City's in that first. Okay, six.
Yeah, if they beat Buffalo and Kansas City, they can lose to Detroit. As far as I'm concerned, pretty easy choice.
Beat those two, and I'm loving life. Yeah.
All right. Other folks out there, thanks. Thanks so much, Brandon. By the way, B Crocs to 99. I'm assuming was your number as a defensive lineman.
Yes, 99 was. Yep.
All right. Very good. Other folks out there, this is film study short season. Hit me up with your idea for a film study short, and I'll weave it in with the expectation series, which is going to run all the way until camp. Love to hear from you. If you have something you want to do statistically, that's fantastic. If you want to just join me about something you're passionate about the Baltimore Ravens, and even if it's something kind of maybe off the field about the Ravens, maybe experience at the game or whatever, love to do a pod on that. So just give the seeding some ideas out there, but I'm very broad in terms of the topics I'd like to talk to folks about. Brandon, thanks again for joining me.
All right, great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.